Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and with the season just starting last weekend, today's podcast features Mick McQuillan and my good self talking about their adventures travelling over to Birmingham and beyond on Saturday to watch Wolves playing Leicester in the first game of the season. Asking the questions today are Gary Cotter and Tadhg Curtis. We start with a little recording made on the morning of the game as we left, just to give you a little flavour of the day. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Aboard the Mick McQuillan Magic Bus to Leicester. Yippee. Yeah. Our first game. Well, Mick was at the United game. First game since Brighton. 0-0. So hopefully we'll see some Wolves goals today. Can't wait. What do you think, Mick? How's it going to go?
I just hope we have a bit more luck than we had the last couple of encounters down. We played quite well down there without getting the proper results, but I'd be happy enough for the draw.
I think that's probably the majority feeling, and hopefully we'll have a great day out.
How's it going, boys? Great to see you. Welcome back from Leicester.
Cheers, Gart.
Go ahead.
I tell you, I'm really looking forward to hearing about how the day went, and more than a day, really, I suppose, wasn't it?
I wouldn't be saying that when we're finished.
I'm sure there'll be a few stories. From what I've heard around.
So
without getting too into the nitty gritty or too menial about it, like I know I'd be interested in, you know, how it went getting to the airport and how you got on the airport, both sides, in fact. You know, is it back to normal?
I Mick picked me up at just after 8 o'clock out here. Done shuttling after him coming from Cavan at probably 7 o'clock. Then we got to the airport 8:30, and time flight was 10:40, so we loads of time, parked up, got the bus. Well, first bus we decided not to get on from the car park up to the terminal because it was absolutely jammed with people. Even though they had masks on, we just waited for the next one, and we got up 10 minutes later. Security was, I suppose, for that hour of the morning, it was slightly less busy than it would have been in normal times, I'd say. Got through security, went in, had a coffee. I let Mick take it over from there because he paid for the coffee. Dublin Airport just checked in. Heading onto the plane now. Not a bad morning here. Hopefully it'll stay this way throughout the day. Year and a half since we've done this, getting onto a plane. Even more rare occasion to even a load of Baggies fans in the queue getting on the plane, so never got a chance to talk to them, so that's a good start to the day. Onto the plane, hopefully it's 10:30 now, we'll be in Birmingham 11:30, and then our little arduous journey to Leicester, so we'll be in good form, meet the lads before the game for a quick pint. Anyway, talk later.
Well, let's see where we go from there. Yeah, we went up to where we were taking off, and there was a few Albion fans there. And on the flight, it was about 20 minutes late taking off, and we were a little bit worried because we had a tight schedule with trains. We knew trains were off, so there was going to be bus replacements, and there wasn't many of them. But we landed anyway, and of course, with this new Brexit carry-on, you're brought to the Channel Islands entrance, and you're brought there by a bus from the plane. And but I was lucky, you know, I was forced in the terminal.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was only one bus, thanks to O'Leary. So Mick got on the first one, but I didn't get out. There wasn't enough room, so anyway, it was about 10 minutes before the second one came along. We got into it. Mick rang me and said he was outside, and as if we were practically the trains were. Right, the first one was gone at this stage, and the second one was steaming up. And Mick then rings me and tells me.
We had a problem before that, Tony, because what happened when I got off the plane, now I'm me out wonky leg, I went straight for the Skyrail.
Yeah.
And I go all the way up and climb up the feckin' stairs, and then I go up the Skyrail, and it wasn't running. And I said, what's the story? He said, that's not running. I said, where did we go? He said, well, you should have went out further down out onto the main street. I said, because there's not a put effect in sign up. You know, everybody coming up here. So I rang Tony, I told him to meet me outside. And went over to the bus, replacement bus that was to bring us up to the train station. And he said, I'll be back in 15 minutes. I said, as long as it's going to take us to get up there, another 10 minutes. I said, our feckin' train is going in 15. So we're going to be in trouble getting to New Street. So we're straight away, we knew we had a problem. So the next thing, we tried, I inquired about a bus to Leicester straight from Birmingham. And well, first of all, we called for the bus. We were told.
You were on the 10:40 out of Dublin, were you?
Yeah.
But we didn't turn out, go up to about 11. So we arrived over there around the 12 mark. And we're trying to get football at 7 minutes past 12.
It was all relatively tight. And even the basic timetable was relatively tight.
It was. Yeah. But there was a bus. A replacement bus was to leave Birmingham at 10 to 1. And that's what we're aiming for. Now, we then approached a taxi driver, and he tried to blade and rip us off. He wanted 30-odd quid to take from there to Birmingham, and he was told where to get off. But then we went down and I spoke to this girl, and she was a Dutch girl, and she was waiting for the bus there to Leicester. And she said it was due at 25 past 12. But eventually arrived at 5 to 1, and they wouldn't take him. So So I said to Tony, look, the best thing here is to get a taxi direct to Leicester. And we swallowed the pride and went back up and spoke to a taxi driver. And he did it for 80 quid. It seemed a lot, but at the same time, it was 40 quid piece. Rather putting a lot of time into going out, we weren't going to miss it. But the weather was torn a bit nasty. So he brought us straight to Leicester's ground, which was great.
Anyway, 10 past 2, we finally got here to the King Power Stadium. Well, Mick, did you enjoy that little trip?
Thanks to fucking Afghan taxis.
What
a camel ride that was.
Never
again.
No, we'll definitely never again. Anyway, we're just about to go into the stadium now. So, great crowd around. Plenty of Wolves supporters to be seen. So, anyway, starting to rain again. So, we'll talk more when we get into the stadium.
We got in, it was slow going in because we're a bit similar to Gary, what happens out in the UEFA. They were checking everybody going into the ground for drugs and every fucking thing. But we got in early, which was great. And, we were relaxed that we actually had made the trip because it was an ordeal.
Yeah, I was reading today that a lot of people were complaining on social media about getting into the ground. And when we were there at 10 past 2, we got out of the taxi. It was 25 to 3 by the time we got in, but they were very slow. They were frisk. They had barriers up. They were letting people through one at a time. I mean, we were there 20 minutes, and the guy that was letting people through to be frisked, he was looking everywhere but where he should have been looking, because the guy was standing there waiting for somebody to frisk, and he was looking out. He was looking around, and people were nearly shouting at him to let people in, but it was very, very slow. So, I mean, we could see him. We were chatting. Straight away, anyone that was arriving at after 2:30 was going to have trouble getting in for the start of the game. And that's how it turned out. A lot of people were 10, 15 minutes late getting in.
But in fairness, Tony, when we arrived there, there was a lot of porters not there. You know, this cracker coming at 20 to 3 and hoping to get in. You know, I've no sympathy for those people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get there, we know there's problems. There's been a pandemic on, and you know, we got in and we had a bit of time to look around and that.
Tell me, what was the atmosphere like before the game now?
In the concourse now, finally got here at 25 to 3. Great atmosphere as usual. Mick is doing his video bits. I'm standing here just listening to the songs. So we'll be heading up to the seats shortly to stand up, because we're not going to be sitting, and really looking forward to this game. Hopefully a point or three for Wolves and several points for ourselves afterwards. And we went in the concourse. Yeah, it was great. And as I said, Mick was taking video of all the lads in the concourse singing away. And that was really great. And we went out, like when we got up, let's say 20 to 3, we got up, there was probably only, I'd say, there wouldn't have been 1,000, I'd say, actually in the seats or at the seats at that stage, because it was fairly sparse around. But there was the atmosphere building up. Like by 3 o'clock, about 90% of people were in. and the usual songs were going and the usual banter, and it was great, you know, it was great. Everyone was looking forward to it. You wouldn't have thought there was anything going on the last year and a half, because as I say, everyone was there singing away, no masks or anything, everyone was comfortable. Everyone seemed to be comfortable.
What was the level of expectation like, did you find, from the fans before the game?
We didn't really talk to many people before the game. We were rushing to get to a game.
Yeah.
And that was... But I must say now, the one thing that really struck me about the game, well, two things. When you go into Leicester and you see the fans with all these clackers to generate the sound.
Yeah.
And I would have to say, from the first whistle to the last whistle, the old fans were fantastic. They never stopped.
Yeah.
Support, you know, and fantastic. Now, you asked a question earlier on, Gary, and I'd answer it about masks and that. But honestly, I don't see why you would need to wear the mask in the ground, and for the following reason. That the fella in front of you, he's not facing you. And the fella beside you is not facing you. So you're not talking directly in. That's my opinion on a lot of the stuff. Now, to me, the more important thing for anybody travelling, in my opinion, is washing the fucking hands.
Yeah.
You know, your hands are on the handrails and you're putting it to your face. That's more dangerous. If you're standing watching the match and look, you're all looking in the one direction. If I'm spitting out and somebody is on his back, you're looking that way. But
that's a pleasant thought, Mick.
It's not only that. It's you know, they're going in the drink and they're putting their hands on bottles for other people that have been at it.
Yeah.
That's a danger. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I wash the bottle, just clean the fucking mouth of it. Yeah, a bit of common sense, and yeah. I think you eliminate an awful lot of it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, from my own point of view, my level of expectation was low on the game. And you know, I it was like trepidation. I was worried that we could ship a few goals and, you know, it could be all over by half time. And of course, you know, I'm negative anyway, but that's, you know,
that's a given.
Yeah.
That sense.
And I tend to be a little bit there with you, Gary. My head was gone from, like, when I met Mick first thing in the morning, when we were chatting, we'd be happy with a draw. But like, I had the back of my mind as well, you know, with a new manager and kind of trying to get used to setting up players in a certain way, differently from the way they had been, that we could easily have maybe shipped two or three goals as well. Like, you know, that was kind of the worst case scenario in the head. But I mean, for the game itself, first half, it was a sucker punch, the goal. We could conceivably have been ahead at that stage and should have been.
Yeah, that was the signal. I mean, you had Traore had a fantastic chance and he put it wide, but you know, within 2 minutes they went down the other end. You've got Ricardo who shakes off two players right in the corner. No, there's no, you're absolutely, the finish was brilliant. Like, there's no question. And yeah. I see how Vardy ran over to the Wolves fans and started howling.
Yeah, I'm surprised actually, because there was very little reaction from the Wolves fans. You know, I thought lads would have been running down.
But to go back to what you were saying there, Gary, I don't know. Look, I was. You know, would have been happy enough with a point before the game, as you say there. But I don't know where the negativity was coming from, because we have a good side, and I just don't get all this negative stuff that's going on. I know it was a change of manager, but we have quality players. Some of the players, they're European champions. So I didn't see... I've been at nearly all the Leicester matches for the last number of years. And there's no stage had they been a better side than us or better players than us. The difference of the side, and again, it was highlighted in Saturday, we get the chances, we didn't take them. And we make a blue... They get one chance and they buried it. Now, in the first half, we control that game from start to finish. And we showed, and even talking to Leicester supporters, and they acknowledged Wolves are better players than Leicester. We went down there 2 or 3 years ago and we hammered them and came away with a 2-0 defeat. And last year we got a perfectly good goal disallowed. So we haven't had the best of luck. So I never looked at Leicester being superior to us. Yes, they have finished higher than us on the table.
Yeah.
But we have, like, there were reasons for that. And that, but my biggest disappointment was in the last 15 minutes. I said to you, Tony, he should have brought on Semedo and he should have brought on, what you call it, Aitnuri.
Yeah.
Because Leicester, from the second minute of that second half,
All they wanted to do was kill the game and were time wasting.
Yeah.
And what we needed to do, in fairness to the right side of the player, what do you call it?
Hoover.
Hoover. He'd given everything he had. And he was knackered with 50 minutes to go. And on the other side, so Marcel, who had, I wouldn't run him down too much, but I just thought he wasn't fit enough for the whole game.
He didn't look match fit, Mick, I didn't think, you know. He was a bit...
that's exactly what it was.
He was a bit off the pace.
If he'd thrown the two boys on there, I thought there was enough of those lads to create... You know, we would have pinned them right back, and they had a great chance for what you call a Jimenez to start picking off the crosses. But yeah. Look at the way I look at the end, I'd say that would be Bruno's biggest regret. But I'm not running him down for it. He learned, but as I said, he is naive. He's not anywhere near experienced as Nuno was. But look, I'm not running the man down. He has to get to know the players he has, and he's only going to get that over playing games, you know.
I suppose one of the main top lines that Wolves fans would have been interested in for the first game was Jimenez. What was your view in relation to him?
Again, myself now, in relation to him, again, a bit like Marcel, I'd say match fitness was probably, sharpness was probably the big thing. Now, there were a couple of balls went in. He went up in the first half. We were knocking a few long balls. There was no sign of him shaking out of going up for aerial challenges and that. I think he'd won header in the second half, and he had another couple of attempts as well. So from the injury point of view, I think he seems to be nearly, I wouldn't say 100% clear of it psychologically. Yeah, I've always thought it's great to see him back. And I'd say having three tough games at the start, it'll probably be after the United game before he'll probably be anywhere near kind of 100% back on track again, you know.
The injury is not a problem to what I see him from, because he wasn't pulling out of anything. And yeah. As Tony said, that game will bring a lot of those players on. You know what I mean? Big time. They'd be a lot sharper, in my opinion. But we'll see how it works out, you know, hopefully.
Yeah, I must say, as I said, my expectations were relatively low. So overall, I came away from the game really pleased with the way it had gone. What I felt about it was that, and I saw I saw the whole lot through on a stream, right? But I thought there was a plan. I did think we looked a bit vulnerable at the back at times. For the first time in a while now, I thought we had a plan and we did stick to it. And it was good, you know. And we had sustainable periods of attacking and possession and that, and which has been, you know, has been lacking a bit. So I thought, on that side of things, the whole game, you know, it left a positive taste in my mouth after the game. Well, like, you know, it's quite positive.
From watching Leicester in the second half, from Schmeichel out, you know, the full backs for throw-ins, goal kicks, free kicks. I mean, I'd say if Sean Dyche was watching, he probably would have learned a lesson in fucking time wasting. They wasted that much time. And I mean, for a team that's in the Champions League, and with aspirations of finishing the top four again, and that's how they played against, God knows where we'll finish up. But you know, I mean, the team that they'd expect to beat, and that's, as Mick was saying, they always seem to have some sort of fear playing against us, which is a compliment to us. But definitely,
I think that Traore incident would have scared the life out of him. Like, you know, if only he'd better, but that was always likely to happen. So they were very scared of it. And I, you know, they couldn't wait to get the back, you know, go to five at the back and put Vestergaard on.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's a compliment, like, you know, they totally changed their game to, they had the lead. And, you know, if you can defend it, well and good. But,
Gary, you were saying there we seem to have a plan. I don't get your drift. In any games I watch his playing, we always had a plan. I don't go with a lot of the bullshit we hear from the pundits and all that. A game is about a bit of tactics. We had the same problem on Saturday as we had last year and the year before. We had a fantastic open chance, brilliantly creative by Ruchinho, where people will tell you it's finished. He split them wide open with a pass.
Yeah.
And Priori should have put her away. Now, the minute we missed that, I said to you, Tony, that's the fucking difference between us and them.
Well,
I said, we get a chance, a golden chance like that, and we miss it. Now, little did I know, within 3 or 4 minutes, they were going to get a chance to fire end and bury us. And they just turned around and said, there you go.
Yep.
They got one chance in the game, they bury us. We had it. We didn't do it. It doesn't matter what plan you have. Mm-hmm. If you're not converting the chances you're making, you ain't going to win games.
What I'd even say, Mick, is the chance that Traore had, it wasn't even in the same ballpark as the one. Like, Vardy was a chance out of nothing. It was across nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and we were depending on a guy with basically an open goal, clean through and goal. And that's the difference in the chance and the difference in the player who was on the end of the two of them, you know, so.
And they got the goal, and once they get a goal up on you, they are a negative team, and always have been. I don't care. You listen to pundits, and they'll be singing from the about Leicester. And so I said to their fans, I said, if you don't keep picking up points, yous are going to get bored with that type of football that they were trying to play. And like the problem for them in the second half, we outran them. And we've done that many a times before.
Yeah.
But we ended up, we had two or three great chances late in the game. And we lost the game. Now, to me, I was very unhappy with that. We lost the game we should have fucking won. And there's no ifs or buts. We played well. Oh, you can play well, and we've done it many a time, and we come away with nothing. So as far as we can, until we start putting those chances away, you know what I mean, and cutting out the ridiculous state of the bank, we won't be winning. And it doesn't matter who you have in charge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's where plan or no plan. The plan is you don't concede. The plan is you score, and then you win games.
Yeah.
I was annoyed about missing.
Well, what everyone's been saying is that Nuno was negative and it was all this, and Bruno was going to change everything around. But people expected him to change everything around for last Saturday. You know, it's going to take time. And he's going to have to, he can't do it. He'll have to do it step by step. I think it'll be an interesting to see how we get on the season. Once we start picking up a few points, everyone will be happy. But anyway, Gary, you were going to ask something?
I'm no pundit, luckily enough. We could have me by the throat. But I did feel there was the attacking was more sustainable. The whole thing of the team was better, and particularly in the second half, was better than it was for a lot of the time last season. Like, we got numbers, we got bodies forward, we pressed higher up the pitch. I thought a lot of positive things came out of it. Like, that's...
No, you definitely agree with you there, Gary. I'm not running you down, but I'm talking about what we listened to on television. They paid £100 million for the second stick, that what you call it, City did, that pundits have built up to be... Now, I'm going to football for years and years. I know what I see. And what you call it, we played Leicester, I told you, two or three on many occasions in the last two or three years, and we've completely outplayed them, like we did on Saturday, no difference. Now, let's see what happens after the end of the year. Now, hopefully, we start converting the chances we get, you know what I mean? And look, there was a lot of, the one thing that you do see from the manager is that he's pushed the likes of Mochinho, and he's pushed, Neves. To get more involved, to push more up front.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it will leave us open at the back. And in fairness, we didn't have a Willy Bolly, which again was another big loss to us. But you must remember that yesterday we had probably our strongest team that we could nearly put out there, with the exception of Semedo. Obviously, he's carrying an injury because he's playing tonight with the under-23s.
Yeah.
He must have been carrying some sort of it, you know?
Yeah.
And that.
And but, that's probably why he didn't bring him on. He didn't want to chance him, you know?
It could be, Tony. And that's what I say. I'm not running the manager down for that, but that's the two things I thought, because we had them by the scruff of the neck. And we let them get away. And it was disappointing that we didn't get something out of that game.
Hopefully, Jimenez gets back to where he was. But apart from him, where are the goals going to come from this season?
Well, we created four or five chances yesterday. And any one of them could have put them away. You don't just come with one or two players.
Yeah, and Trinko, good as well.
The only thing I tell you, he ties a bit light, Tony, at the minute. But he certainly has a lot of good things going for him, you know?
Yeah. Neves might pop in one or two now from, you know, because he's getting further forward. Yeah. Moutinho will have a shot. Like, you know,
Hoybe were very close as well, Tony. You know what I mean? They were all... And what you got, Kilman had two or three efforts.
Yeah.
Coming from deep.
Yeah.
And we our goals have been shared around the place. That's we start hitting the back of the net, and that's it. Was...
But for the rest of the day, then, Gary.
I was wondering how you you had to stay overnight because there's not many options for travelling back. No. You had to stay overnight.
There was no flight back, so we.
So you probably went and met some of the lads, did you? Or
yeah, we'd arranged. We met the lads in, and it was kind of halfway into Leicester, Mick, wasn't it? About 10 minute walk. Well, they had one of their microbrewery places that Mick loves, you know. They wouldn't, you had to book a table for that place, so we didn't get in there. So we just went to a pub next door. Liverpool game was on, so we watched that, had a few points there, and a bit of chat, loads of loud music. So couldn't.
What was the feeling of the guys you met? Were they kind of happy with the way it had gone and that?
Yeah, a bit like ourselves. I think they were happy. Like, you know, Steele's opinion was a bit like as ourselves. You know, we need to score goals. That's been a problem that's been there for the last year or so. Yeah, but people were happy enough.
More important, I would think, was to talk to the Leicester lads, which I talked, spoke to them, and their view on Wolves. And yeah. they were quite, they're no mugs, the Leicester fans, and they know we're as good as what they are, but we don't put the, they have a variety, we don't. And that's the problem.
And tell me, yeah, I know you made reference to Steele, and that's Steve Horton, isn't it? And Jack and Tom Horton and that gang.
Yeah.
From Dudley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mafia.
The Dudley Mafia. Yeah. Okay, and tell me, yeah. So you were literally forced to stay overnight because lack of flight options coming back. And
yeah.
What did that with an early flight the following morning? You more or less have to stay at the airport because there's no trains.
We also had another problem, Gary. And the other problem was we had to get from bloody Leicester to Derby and getting Derby to internet. And then what happened was the fucking train was late and then we missed a connection. So we arrived into Leicester, or sorry, into
Birmingham.
Eventually into Birmingham. And we missed the
train to the train airport,
to yeah. international. So we had to end up with the Briar Rolls for a couple of more points. So.
But we did get it.
Get a taxi.
In a taxi at, what was it, 1 o'clock or was it, Mick?
I was a bit late.
You were doing the timekeeping, I think.
Is the missus in the room there with you?
No, you're all right. I'm locked up here for the last 2 days.
We got into the bed.
Yeah, it was
and
about
was
that.
Was there a hotel in the airport, yeah?
Yeah, I stayed in the Ibis in the airport. We were up at 6 or whatever, 10 past 6. Flight was 20 past 8, Aer Lingus, so we literally crossed the road. And Sunday morning, you can't get trains from anywhere before 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
That's that's what I was thinking, yeah. You literally have to stay in the airport, don't you? Yeah. Because or else you're paying for a big taxi journey or whatever. And tell me, was on in both directions now, on the flights, were the flights full?
The Ryanair one, they were on the way over on Saturday.
Full, yeah.
Yeah, it was fairly full. There was a few, you know, I'd say if there was 10 seats empty and on the plane, it was doing well. Aer Lingus coming back now, I suppose, because it's 20 past 8 on a Sunday morning as well, people have trouble getting to the airport. There was a few more, but it was probably two-thirds full?
Yeah, well, it wouldn't even be that, Tony. Yeah, but hardly two-thirds. But
half two-thirds, yeah.
You know, there was plenty of room on us on the flight. But, you know, next week now, we're over to it's a 2 o'clock kickoff, so we're on the early flight into Manchester. And we're getting the train up. That'll be handy enough. Well, and
you hope
we're getting the train back from the plane back from Birmingham at 6:30 next week. You know, so hopefully we have trains running everywhere.
It's half six on a Sunday night, is there?
Yeah, that was changed. We were originally 6:30 in the morning, Dublin to Birmingham, 9 o'clock I think, or 8:30 on a Sunday night, which was grand. But they rescheduled, which effectively. They cancelled the two flights and they just put one on leaving Dublin at 5 and leaving Birmingham at 6:30. So we kept the tail, the second half of what we had booked, but we had to go into Manchester for the early flight. So because there was no other flight.
I mean, it's still very you know. I mean, I haven't booked a game yet. Like I've got to do some home. I've got to do Spain first, I think, before I book half a dozen games. Yeah. There's still a lot of uncertainty around the times, isn't there? You know, the flights and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been changing them, Gary. They were chopping and changing, but it seems to be settling down a bit because the following week now we're playing United and I'm flying in and out of Manchester for the home game again, you know, here at Molineux, because it was only 36 quid or something return. It was a very, very cheap flight return,
in
the
one day.
In the one day, yeah.
Yeah.
Back to, I think it was about 9 o'clock flight back here on Manchester at 9 or 10 o'clock, you know what I mean? So we're into his, what time is that Manchester flight? I think it's not exactly, it's about 20 past 8 or something, I think it is. I'm not too sure.
Just to wrap up then, what do you think about Sunday against Spurs?
Yeah, it'll be a great atmosphere, and number one anyway. It's the first home game since the pandemic has started to clear. Nuno coming back. I mean, this computer, There must be some magic beans in this computer, the way it throws up these fixtures, you know. No, I mean, Nuno's first game, first away game is at Molineux, so it'll be cracking atmosphere. Us, it's pretty hard to know. Like, watching Spurs yesterday against what I thought was an off-form City, you'd say they were good, but I'd be hoping we get something out of the game, you know.
What do you think, Mick?
No, I think it'd be a very, very tough game, because I just think that Nuno is exactly what Spurs needed. Defensively, he'll have them right spot on it, and he has the players that can punish you. I think it's going to be a very good game. It could be a cagey game to a degree. But if we open up against Spurs, I can see them to get one or two against us.
Yeah.
But it should be a fantastic tactical game. That's what I would take out of it. And I go with Tony, it'll be a fantastic atmosphere. But I do see him making the likes of Dele Alli and the likes of what you call it. He'll make some of them players far better players, you know.
Yeah.
But let's hope we can get a little bit of luck, and we end up getting the ball in the back of the net. The goal will change everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the one thing we have going for us on this next week, it'll be the first time a lot of those players have played in front of Molineux.
Lads, can I say it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Looking forward to meeting up again soon. Okay?
Yeah. Great stuff. Yeah. See you, Ty. See you, Gary. See you Sunday, Mick.
All right. Talk to you then.
Right. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website, or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.